hear that?
No.
This is madness.
No.
With 900 years old, you reach for the good you are not.
Not her.
I am a Jedi.
Too short for a stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike. And guys, a lot to talk about in this week's edition
Mike,
of the podcast.
I'm going to stop you right there. I have got something very important to
this
bring
up.
This
is very out of the ordinary.
This is a little weird that I might be interrupting a statement and saying something that has nothing to do with anything else.
I think we all know what this is about.
All right. Last week on the pod, I was talking about E.T., a movie that I like. That Ryan, quote unquote, is a super fan of. And I was told that my description of a scene was just grossly inaccurate. I'd like to roll that clip. So in E.T., when they're going trick or treating, the kids are running and they see somebody dressed up as Yoda.
Oh, yeah.
E.T. points at Yoda and says, home, home. Oh. And then in Ryan, Ryan?
That's not a completely
Ryan,
accurate depiction of that scene.
No, he doesn't. He point at Yoda and says, oh.
I'm being very nitpicky.
Let's hear it.
He doesn't say home. He sees Yoda and then he kind of throws his arms up and tries to like hug him. He walks at him.
Now I'd like to roll some audio from the scene to prove how accurate I actually was.
Well, all right, I have a few apologies to make.
Okay.
The first is to Mr. Spielberg for not remembering his film correctly. The second, I suppose, would be to Melissa Matheson, who wrote the script, who wrote a brilliant script and died within the last few years, which was a tragedy. Kathleen Kennedy, of course, who produced the film. Frank Marshall, who I believe also produced the film. John Williams, who's written so many beautiful scores for us. I just want to apologize to all of them. Henry Thomas, who's in that scene. The ballet dancer who did E.T.'s hands. All of the animatronics artists.
We probably need to move on with the show.
I feel like you're filibustering here. This is...
What's the count at now, Ryan? I mean,
Drew
you mixed
Barrymore,
up.
Who improvised all our lines in the movie.
And honestly,
and,
the
D.
only...
Wallace, who turns in a beautiful performance.
The only reason I listened to that scene or watched it again was to correct my error, but to find out that I was right on this podcast.
Get off it.
I mean, it also...
Oh, they're turning on you, Chris.
It is for once.
Oh, no.
The only...
Listen, you know, a person should admit when they're wrong, you know, and I was wrong, and I apologize to everyone at Universal Studios.
Well, Ryan, you know what that's earned you? The official tip of the cap from Chris in this episode. I thank you for that apology. And also worth listening to the scene for the little Yoda cue to kind of go back to our John Williams discussion.
I think we've come full circle, Ryan, because in your first guest appearance on this podcast, you then had to make an apology with mentioning the wrong hand that Luke Skywalker lost.
Yeah.
And here on your final episode of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, Ryan, you're off.
This is strike two for me.
This is strike three, yeah. Two and three.
You know, I do issue retractions. I'm not sure we have any repeat listeners, so I'm not sure it means anything.
If you're listening to an episode of this podcast more than once, you should probably go get some help.
It's really not a great endorsement of the show for those
Sorry.
Who have stuck around, Chris.
I mean,
insulting
look at
listeners
look at
does
what
not
it's done
build
to,
a community.
Look at what it's done to our brains.
See, I'm back in the wrong again. There we go.
Everything feels right.
I couldn't hold this moment for too long.
Well, speaking...
Well, thank you for that, Ryan.
of the community of listeners that we are building here in the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, we were very fortunate to have some, not only a listener email, which you can email us at droidspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, droidspod, Facebook, the Droids Podcast, and of course on Instagram, droidspod. Check it all out there. But we got a voice memo sent in by a listener, and let's take a listen to it now and get a chance to hear from one of our loyal fans who stuck with us or joined the podcast recently and may stick with us going forward as long as Chris doesn't really push them away.
Howdy, fellers. I just recently give you a follow on that electronic social media place, what some calls a Twitter. I'm a rural farm boy, but betwixt us, you can call me Anthony. I just recently, maybe a week or so ago, maybe two, I found your show. I'm a longtime Star Wars podcast listener of many shows, which I'm now counting me on as a regular listener of yours. I found your show, oh, where the hell was it now? I think it was behind, on the other side of one of my evaporators. Maybe it was a condenser, somewhere on there, out Western Ridge. Don't like rightly remember now. But I listened to your most recent episode 54 and then went back one 53. And maybe I ought to go and do 52, 51. We'll see. I got a lot of podcasts to listen to every day of every week, all month long. So just keep doing what you do. You fellas bust me up. You're something else. And keep doing just what you're doing, the way you're doing it. Whether it's a ConveyX train wreck or not. And I'll see you next week. May the force be with you. See you on the radio.
Anthony, thank you very much for the message. We appreciate you tuning in, hanging with us here, and we hope you go back and listen to the whole catalog. There are some great episodes, yeah. Ones where Chris is not talking and making things up on the spot. There's real things to dig into, we promise.
Those exist. Those exist.
Yeah, I'd be very curious.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
As it sounds like, you're going to be working through it both backwards and forwards from episode 53. I'd be curious whether you think we're getting better or getting worse.
yeah, you have a truly unique perspective. Actually, it's kind of like how you would watch Star Wars movies. Like how you get introduced. If you get the original saga or go from the prequels on.
Can I make a guess as to how people would feel about if we're getting better or worse?
Let's hear it.
Yes.
I think that if people are in it for Star Wars analysis and discussion, they probably think we're getting worse. But if people have learned to love us and they're in it to hear four friends talk about Star Wars and have some fun together, I think they'd say we're getting better.
Okay.
So I think,
finding
that balance.
I was just going to say.
Finding that balance.
It's all about the balance.
I can't wait until after this episode, and then next week we're going to have to play that audio clip from you, Ryan.
And Anthony, a.k.a. Rural Farm Boy. Well,
yeah, how do you say that, man?
Rural Farm Boy.
I hope they finish that work that's going on outside real soon.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was going to ask about that. Yeah. I was thinking he's either sitting very far away from a ringing phone or too close to a fidget spinner.
My impression was that it was a Jawas that were approaching his farm.
Yeah. I thought of some moisture evaporators in the background, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's where he found us. Right.
Well, I hope he doesn't have any stray tech really laying around that the Jawas could take, repurpose.
They really do like just anything with technology.
They do.
No, look, I think we all super appreciated the call in, and I think if anybody else wants to call in with a question to the pod or any kind of feedback or anything that you guys would be interested in hearing us talk about, you can definitely send in a voicemail and you know, we're happy to listen to anything that's that's appropriate for the pod. That's family friendly for our pod. You know, we'd be happy to talk about it on the air, and you know, shoot us an email at droidspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, you got it right. Plan on sending some kind of voicemail, talking about some kind of like dirty fantasies of yours. Try a different show.
Sam, I think we left Family Friendly behind about 33 episodes ago.
Was it my songs? Do you think it was my songs?
I don't know, because we haven't heard a lot of music from what kind of band is that?
Here, stick within. Here's what I'll say in terms of the Family Friendly. Just stick within the bandwidth that we're. Stick in the same range that we're playing in. You know what I mean?
Why are we making
the family friendliness of our podcast?
Why are we making a call to like kind of push it a little bit if you want? But
here's the thing: if you're listening with children, I think you're like A-okay. That like anything that we're saying that would be not family friendly is going over their heads. Where you gotta really watch out is if you're listening with like a 13 or 14 year old.
Yep.
Here's what I think: if you call in with a voicemail. And you think you're pushing the edge of what might make the air, I'm going to ask that you also call back and push it in the other direction with something so boring and safe that
and we'll blend them together. We'll
and
play
then
them
I'll
at
the make
same time.
I'm going to make the request just for us.
Yeah.
Push it even further in the other direction. And we'll just see what happens.
Look, follow Rural Farm Boy's example. That was wonderful. Right
it was
on.
It
no
was
issue there
Thanks
at
so
all.
Much. Thanks
Thank
so
you
much,
for
man,
being
for
a fan, and we're glad to crack you up, and we hope to continue to do that.
We hope this is working for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, and as Sam said, if you want to send us a message, droidspod@gmail.com. We'd also appreciate an iTunes review. It really helps us out as a podcast, gets the word out there that we're doing something you like, and maybe you could even leave a review letting us know if we've hit the balance and the force that you want between that hard-hitting insight and are quite enjoyable ramblings that we've had over the last few episodes. They just get better and better. Yeah. Speaking of actual news, though, there was a Variety article that was published just this past week about J.J. Abrams looking for an overarching deal with the studio where he would be creating this mega blockbuster deal where he would make films and television series and video games and books. He would do everything at one house. Maybe this is just about him trying to simplify his future outlook for his career, really solidify where his backing is going to come from for all the projects. We've seen him do things with Hulu and Showtime and ABC and Disney. There's been so many different projects from J.J. Abrams. He wrote a book a few years ago. I think this seems like a great idea for him. Certainly, it would be a lot of money for J.J. Abrams in the end. But the big piece of news that came out of this was that there was an interpretation that there would be a course correction from Lucasfilm heading into episode 9. Now, the reference doesn't necessarily mean that it is a course correction following The Last Jedi, but potentially because of the failure of Solo, or at least failure in terms of the box office overall. They feel like there could be a change in episode 9 in the direction, possibly getting back to maybe being a bit broader, a little bit more satisfying for an older generation of Star Wars fans who are maybe not as happy with some of the changes that Rian Johnson made. And the first initial reaction you have to this is anytime you hear course correction, you feel like it's a statement about the overall status and standing of the series, especially after Solo, but also after Episode 8 and The Last Jedi. And I'd have to say that's off the mark for any kind of change, because the saga has been going appropriately well. Clearly, the success has been there, both domestic and international. Solo, the course correction could be within those sagas, or sorry, side stories. But when you come to episode 9, it doesn't feel like there should be an overall course correction from Lucasfilm. But that is the news that came out this past week, and it gives us a little bit of Bantha Poodoo to talk about.
Poodoo.
It's interesting, you know, I wish, you know, and who knows exactly where this is coming from, but I wish that, I think that the terminology is a little harsh in terms of course correction. Like, if they said they're just, like, making some adjustments, you know, it wouldn't seem so intense. But I don't like that Lucasfilm seems to, whether it's through what they're saying or not saying, seems to be, like, perpetuating this narrative that things are like really off track. you know, I don't think they're doing anything to kind of dispel that. And I think that they are kind of buying into it a little bit, where they're being like somewhat apologetic about things. And I just don't, I don't like that they're doing that, because obviously we're huge fans of The Last Jedi here. I love that movie. I think that Solo was kind of a misfire, but not like a drastic one. I know that it lost some money, but whatever. And it's not, you know, The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens made a lot of money. So I'm not really sure why there's such an extreme reaction.
I think it's kind of a marketing push too. Like they're stating this as if like to make you think they're in the dumps. Like, I think they're like, they're just pushing ahead.
I don't know about that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it seemed like a very odd thing. I think what Ryan was saying is that the lack of saying something is a bigger statement, that the course correction was put out there. I don't think they would put that out there themselves.
Well, I mean, if
first
you think
off, Mike, how dare you interrupt Chris?
I have never done that to you before, and I never will do it again.
Again? That's not what never means, bud.
Wait a second. Don't interrupt me. No, I mean, I think, all right, I understand that. But so if you look at it from a marketing perspective, the people that are already going to want to see it, they're going to see it regardless. So the people that enjoyed Last Jedi, they're not saying it sucks, right? They're not going online saying why you shouldn't see it. Those people are moot. So you need a statement that's going to encompass the other half of people. And I know it might cheapen the overall message, but I think they're doing it as a statement for the other half of people that didn't enjoy The Last Jedi.
I'm just trying to read. Sorry, this. I'm like the original article that everybody's citing is this Variety piece, and it seems like that's Variety's language. I'm not finding where anybody, like, it's Variety.
According to an unnamed Hollywood insider,
right? And Variety's saying the company is like, he's working closely with the company on Star Wars Episode 9, which is being billed as a course correction. And it's like, I don't think it is. I don't know. I mean, I think in terms of like, I certainly don't think they're trying to like narratively course correct the Skywalker saga. I think that story has been, the broad strokes of that story have been set for a really, really long time. And I think that they have done a good job of like backing Rian Johnson and his team and his decisions there. I think like when they're talking about course correction, we're talking about like the idea of, you know, drawing back on some of the upcoming projects, you know, and like refocusing on like a big prestige picture maybe every 2 years instead of every year. But that also feels weird. Like, why is that? This movie isn't like part of that. Like, this movie was always going to do what this movie was going to do as soon as you announced episodes 7, 8, and 9. Right. At least I think.
Yeah. Well, there's also a very interesting piece from Forbes where they tracked the success of trilogies, and usually you see a 30-40% dip in the second installment of a trilogy, and then the third film bumps back up because the first film is the first time anybody has seen it in a long time. It's the thing you think about trilogies that have come back. So, say, Jurassic Park and restarting things, and Jurassic World had a huge box office, the second film that had a drop off. That's not the best example, but it's similar to some of the other trilogies out there. And then the third film, because it is the final film of the trilogy, bumps back up, maybe not to the same level of the first, but certainly to a higher success rate box office internationally than it did with the second film, because of just the way that you see the percentages drop off from a huge moment that you find when a film has come out for the first time in maybe 30 years.
And the second ones are always the best.
Yes. Well,
just
the second
like
one
Jurassic
is
Jurassic World.
Right.
It gets people to come back.
I haven't seen any of those movies. Yeah. I'm not going to watch them. I don't
second
know.
Jurassic
Why would
World,
I watch
the,
that?
The second Matrix movie.
Well, that was another example, though, of one that did pass on to the third installment not performing because the second Matrix movie was so widely panned that then people did not come back for the third film.
Which, by the way, everybody, go back. You know what? Here's an unpopular opinion from Ryan.
Tweet it out.
Those second two Matrix movies are dope as hell. I'm saying it. Sure. Yeah. They're not the first Matrix movie. What could be? Sure. They didn't need to make sequels to it. It was perfect on its own. But what I'm saying is we got two weird movies from two very interesting filmmakers. Stop complaining.
That car chase scene in the second movie is pretty spectacular, even though there's maybe more CGI than practical stunts.
Yeah. I love except that. They built a mile of highway.
They did. Yeah.
Welcome pretty to well. Matrix Pod.
I do want to go back to Chris's statement, though, because, Chris, you were talking about how the marketing department might be trying to bring back some of those fans who were disenfranchised after The Last Jedi.
Sure.
I think that's giving too much credit to the marketing department that had no idea how to market Solo, which couldn't have been that. I mean, it's not that tall an order to get people to come and see a Star Wars movie. Somebody in that marketing department said, hey, we don't have enough time to do this properly. Push it back to December. I just think you might be, they may not be as subtle as you're getting
the
credit for.
And they call it The Producers.
Sell everyone a flop, eh?
I just think, like, as far as, you know, I highly doubt that there's an edict coming down from, you know, Iger or anybody at Disney or Lucasfilm that's saying, hey, get us back all those fans that are the vocal, you know, haters of Last Jedi and whatever online. Like, I don't think that there would be, I don't think that the company that is backing Kathleen Kennedy and is backing Rian Johnson, giving him his own new trilogy and standing behind like all the casting choices that have been criticized from the beginning of this trilogy. Like, I don't see them being like, hey, let's get those people back who are really like trying to make a big stink online and be really, really loud and hateful because we want their dollars. Because I think it's a smart enough company to say like, nah, we're on the right side of history. We're going to keep marketing to who we're marketing to, and we're going to get new people who are excited by what we're doing, and that's who we want going forward because we want to keep making the work we're making, like not go back. Like, we don't want to be retrograde, you know?
And the money speaks more than anything. The success of The Last Jedi was still a monumental financial success, and as we talked about prior on this podcast, the best-selling Blu-ray of the year. So, you know, Black Panther was an incredibly popular film, and yet The Last Jedi is outselling Black Panther. So I'm just, there's still a huge, huge audience. And as you said, Sam, to cater to that group that is unhappy would make no sense from a business standpoint.
Well, does anybody make Blu-rays other than Disney anymore?
Yeah. I mean, the Blu-ray statistics.
That's where all the money is going.
I think Sony and Universal, who maybe make some of your favorite films, Sam. Yeah,
absolutely. No. I'm sure that those are like the 1, 2, 3, 5, 7
that's almost
of the top
like
10 movies are all Disney.
I'm also glad you brought up Universal. Again, I'd really like to apologize to all the people over there.
Thank you so much.
Sid Sheinberg, who discovered Steven Spielberg, you know, on his studio lot tour. I'm just so embarrassed.
And I just want to shout out that has anyone noticed how great their bumper looks at the start of a film when you see Universal?
And they added a few years ago, I think like 6 or 7 years ago, they added that harmonizing.
Yep.
In the and like it's hard to change a theme. And like, oh baby, when you watch an old Universal movie, you miss those harmony notes.
I can't wait until next week's podcast when we play the theme from it and it's just not in there.
Guys, I hate to be that guy, but we had this conversation about the Universal fanfare on a prior podcast.
Oh God!
No, that's why I brought it up.
That's why I brought it up.
Oh my God,
Sam. Interesting.
He's doing a bit.
You brought up the Art of the Score,
guys.
In
have we ever
podcast.
Have I ever told you that I really like the prequels?
No, I think
you should
off on a diatribe.
Ryan, are you sitting down?
We should do a few episodes where we go through the prequels.
Let's just go through each of the films. We should do a talk through on each of the movies.
Oh, no, guys.
Ryan, sorry, Mike, I cut you off.
Is this your way of getting off for the next, like, 5 weeks where we don't have to do anything because we just replay episodes from earlier in the pod?
Mike, was that a family-friendly thing to say?
Oh, I knew you were going to do it. I knew it.
As soon as you said it, we all tried to jump on it. You guys are going to have to retell my life to me pretty soon.
Sam, The Art of the Score, which you brought up in, what, episode 53, I believe, which is a phenomenal podcast. I'd love to invite the entire hosting trio of Art of the Score on our podcast at some point.
That'd be fun.
Speaking of early fanfares, the interesting bit in their first episode about Star Wars, I never realized that they brought back the old 20th Century Fox fanfare,
yes,
which was such an interesting piece, a tidbit of knowledge, because as a way to not only honor the past of the studio film system, but also to offset a more modern sounding intro to the film, which makes this nostalgic play something that was part of Star Wars from the very beginning.
It's like a special effect.
Yeah, I was
very
impressed.
Wait, they did that for the first Star Wars? I'm sorry, I haven't listened. What, so elaborate.
So there's the original fanfare for 20th Century Fox. There was a full length recording, and then like over the years, as it got to closer and closer to 1977, they had continually like chopped it down. And
did they re-record it?
I don't think they'd ever. Maybe they had re-recorded it, or maybe not. But what they did for Star Wars was they played the full length fanfare, like back from the early days of the studio, which was longer and fuller. And just set up the idea of this being like an old school fantasy that you are going to go on this kind of epic ride, you know.
Very cool. That's really cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
I think the fanfare is in the same key as the Star Wars theme, if that's right, the main theme. I think they kept it in the same key so that it like segues very nicely into that big first, you know, full chord that you get in every Star Wars movie.
And it's part of why that podcast is so great, because of the research they put in, a little bit of a counterbalance to the podcast that we bring to you every week.
It's good counter programming, you know.
They're the
vegetables and nutrients, and we're the Skittles.
The food
of podcasts.
Everybody's talking about food on these things.
Check out Art of the Score. I think, you know, the only thing that we've discussed, haven't discussed about the course correction, was the idea of retconning ideas from episode 8 by J.J. Abrams. We've talked about this prior.
Yeah, I've been nervous about this.
I can't imagine J.J., though, making any huge demonstrative moments where he decides, nope, Rey's parents are so-and-so, or actually, you know, the Jedi are only, I mean, the meaningfulness of the Force only does fall within the Skywalker family. I don't feel like JJ's going to do that, but maybe I'm just being blindly optimistic.
I honestly wish that, I mean, unless they are going to do it, which I don't want to say anything definitive, but I'd be kind of upset if they retconned that with Rey's parents. But I wish that instead of them saying, you know, like kind of the PR line has been like, oh, do you think Kylo Ren's telling the truth? We'll find out, like that kind of thing. I wish that they would just be like, no, like that he was telling the truth, that's the case, because I think that this whole like quote-unquote mystery of Rey's parentage has been like really distracting, you know. It's like all people talk about, and it is kind of like this like mystery box thing with J.J. Abrams, which I usually am kind of a fan of, but like they set that up as this mystery that's kind of like, you know, I feel like we got a really good payoff for it that was very surprising in episode 8. And I wish that, like, people would stop, you know, like, not everything has to be a huge reveal. And, like, this idea of, like, spoiler culture makes it so that everything seems like it has to be a huge spoiler. So then people feel the need to pay that off.
Sure.
And I just wish they would kind of, like, stop distracting from, you know, how well told this story is with that.
Well, I think we said this before, and I certainly still feel this way. There isn't a better payoff than her not having, you know, important or significant parents. Anything else is a lesser surprise, a lesser payoff.
Right. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah, then if it's something that we've already theorized, yeah, for sure.
And I also think that just in terms of would J.J. Abrams do that, I don't think so. I don't think there's really even a chance, because I think that JJ as a filmmaker, as a producer, as a director, as a writer, I think that he is going to value, you know, looking Ryan Johnson in the eye and Kelly Marie Tran in the eye more than saying like, well, there were some people who were like kind of upset about it, so I changed it. And then he has to look those artists in the eye and say like, we kind of caved. Sorry, we didn't have your back. But
and
I got this big TV deal with Disney. No way. No way. The guy's an artist.
And I don't think it puts it out of the realm of us meeting Rey's parents or anything like that. I mean, they just don't have to be anything that we've known.
I hope it does put it out of that realm. What the best part is that she rose from nothing.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, like it's this idea of like anyone can be a hero. That's the greatest gift
and
they ever gave us.
And he also,
the idea of taking it back would be so wasted.
I'm not suggesting taking it back. I'm saying that, like, you could still meet the parents.
Robert De Niro. I have nipples, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying is like, but I'm saying if you even introduce, if you keep the story the same and you introduce them and they're nobodies, it's still like, what's more interesting? The Joker that we don't know the history of, that he tells a different story every time in The Dark Knight, or the one that, like, we get a full backstory to?
Mm.
Like, as soon as we can peg where she came from, as soon as we can, like, say, like, oh, those two, that's why she's this way, it eliminates all the interest in her character. Like, the great thing about her is that it's like, we don't know, and she could be anybody, and we get to fill in that history with whatever we want, and, like, that's the fun part of it.
Mm-hmm. It's also a story that sort of undercuts episode 8, not only just because of them being in there, is that now it's her search for validation again with these new characters that are introduced. Even if they are not meaningful characters within Star Wars, they're her parents. She's still going to want to find some reason to find validation through them. And that's what she realized she didn't need at the end of episode 8.
Yeah,
it was just
we already
theory.
Got
they're
a parent.
What I'm saying is, I got moves. Can you milk me?
Can you move me? Greg, and I just want Fokker in there. Greg Fokker should just be in the movie.
I do think, JJ is a populist, obviously, in terms of like his sensibilities as a director. But I also know that, like, you know, this idea of inclusivity and the idea of, like, Rey kind of coming up from nothing seems important to him. And he also, like, you know, people forget when The Force Awakens, when the first trailer came out, you know, probably the same people who hate The Last Jedi for, you know, the reasons that they do. Like, you know, the guys, the people we're talking about, mostly men, I'm sure.
No, you could say guys. Yeah,
yeah,
that's fair.
That same group was upset that there was a black stormtrooper, and J.J. Abrams, his response is basically like, get out of here, man. Like, grow up. You know, and it's like he really stuck to his gun. He wasn't like, you know, like people have different interpret. Like, he was like, that's ridiculous. Like, I can't believe we're still talking about this. So I don't see him kind of bending to the will of fandom that much. You know, like, he does have populist sensibilities, but I do think that's kind of true to just, like, what he likes to make. But I don't think he's, like, a pushover.
I think what we'll see in terms of quote-unquote course correction, if anything, is going to be...
Also, this is a statement from somebody we have no idea who.
I don't think it's a real statement. It could be Ryan.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Boy, I really hope Earl Farmboy liked The Last Jedi.
He likes all the Star Wars. I've heard him pop up on a few other casts. He loves all of it just like us, I think. I don't know. I won't speak for him. But I just think, like, in terms of any kind of change that we're going to see in terms of, like, what people will call a course correction, it's going to be episode 9 is going to probably, it's going to move faster, it's probably going to feel start to finish like more fun is packed in.
It'll probably be more parallel Jedi, I would imagine, a little more.
Sure, yeah.
What?
I hope that there's, God, if there are Ewoks in this movie,
as far as like, I think that's what a lot of people are kind of expecting, I think, when you say the phrase course correction, because, like, people just want to see kind of like the reiteration. So I wonder if it'll parallel Jedi.
I think it's going to be like a filet mignon sandwich with donuts as the bread.
Ooh, we're adding carbs.
We ate donuts in The Force Awakens and we had a nice filet mignon. And then we're having another donut.
Right.
You know how you take your filet mignon and you put it between two donuts? That's what it's going to be like.
I'm in. I'm in for it.
I think that is getting close. Yeah, I'm going to see it. Yeah, I think you'll be there. I think you'll be there, Ryan. We're getting close to wrapping up this edition of the podcast. We will get back to our resistance recaps in our next episode. There will be a couple episodes for us to talk about at that point. I know we are not doing our full launch of all of our segments this week. We're going to get back to That's My Jacket, Chris's Episode 9 Theories, Galaxy's Edge Talk. But I know we want to tease a little bit, a new segment coming from our very own Ryan. And Ryan, I don't know if you have a song prepared for your segment.
I was hoping someone else had prepared a song for me.
I'm going to toss that over to Chris. Chris, you got one?
The name of the segment is A Long Time Ago Till Now.
Long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. Till now.
I mean, you're parodying a 9-minute long song. Go for it, baby.
I'm parodying a Weird Al parody. Tell you.
All right, a long time ago till now.
A long, long time ago till now.
Thank you, Sam. Oh, my God.
There
you guys,
go.
I feel like the bell of the ball. Anyway,
you should.
So a long time ago till now, where we explore things from Star Wars history that you may not know. This is a quick one. I found out about this today. Star Wars: From the Adventures of Luke Skywalker. Are you guys familiar with this? No. Okay, I'll take silence as a no. Star Wars: From the Adventures of Luke Skywalker was the original novelization of the first Star Wars movie. It was written by Alan Dean Foster, who kind of is famous amongst the Star Wars novelizations. He wrote Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which we will talk about in a future episode. But he ghost wrote this one. It was credited to George Lucas. What I didn't know, which is interesting, is that it was released before the movie actually came out. It was released in November of 1976, which is about 6 months before May of 1977, when all of our lives in the world changed. It's basically, you know, just a novelization of the movie with things that were added in the special editions, like the Jabba scene where he appears with Han. And I just thought that was absolutely fascinating that they released a novelization of a book by that was, you know, credited to George Lucas before the movie even existed. It wasn't a franchise.
Yeah.
It's such a strange time in like kind of like sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah.
And it was something that I was completely unaware of. So
that's
I hope that people find that a little interesting.
That is.
I wonder if people... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
We both start our sentence the same way, too. I wonder if that was like a marketing move of like, oh, get the book out there so we can build interest among like, I don't know, like the fantasy readers out there.
Yeah.
If they like put any money behind it. But I mean, it certainly does. I can't imagine it. I had never even heard of the book, like the novelization at all. Or I guess I just assumed there probably was one. So
yeah,
I wonder
sure.
if it did well at all. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm interested to know if there's people that read the book first and they're like, oh, hey, they're making a movie out of that.
Well, it's interesting. It was part of this time. Like you'll see these old like pictures of Mark Hamill in like 76 after they shot the movie at like sci-fi conventions, you know, in like Tulsa, you know, where they were just like, get the word out.
Yeah.
You know, there was like a different kind of like word of mouth and like four-walling these things. So, you know, if there was a audience for this kind of genre stuff, it seems like, you know, if you put out the novelization, they might read that and the word would get out beforehand to kind of drum up publicity. I just think that's like a fascinating thing because to launch a franchise that wasn't even a franchise yet.
I like to think about the people who read the book in the fall of 76 and said, eh, it doesn't work for me. I don't think this is going to be a success.
Exactly, yeah.
Or is there anyone who's like, the book was better?
Yeah, there's got to be one.
But the biggest takeaway.
That was a long time ago till now.
Ooh, a long, long time ago till now.
A long, long time ago. A long, long time ago till now.
I don't have one
pick,
for you,
Ryan.
I'll pick
listeners.
On next week's episode.
The listeners should pick.
Yeah.
There you go.
Droidspod@gmail.com, twitter.com/droidspod, and Facebook and Instagram, droidspod. Find us there. That will do it for this edition of the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We will be back next week. More discussion of Resistance and whatever breaking news we get from Variety that will send us down the road of some crazy poodoo to talk about. That's next week on the pod.
Short for Stormtrooper.
We have what they grow beyond.
Annie? You boys want to go to medieval times?
Jeez.
Chris, are you going to interrupt me or no?
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted an actual interruption.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't.
We talked about it. I was, you're the worst.